Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
Which brings us to late 2016, just as I started to follow the clues that would lead to my story on Harvey Weinstein.
With so many potential new votes, the race was anybody's game for the first time since Election Day. The Bush team once again turned to the U.S. Supreme Court, this time to file an emergency petition to halt the recount.
Just 1 year after Albert DeSalvo, a.k.a. the Boston Strangler, is apprehended on the East Coast after murdering 13 women over a two-year period, our hometown of Cincinnati, Ohio, has their own killer starting to make his rounds in a similar fashion.
On this episode, we explore three podcasts you might like: the Catch and Kill podcast, Fiasco, and Dead On. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Tripp Eldridge. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us an Apple Podcast. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and curation, writing, and producing from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. Well, it's been nearly 2 years since Harvey Weinstein's criminal charges blew the doors wide open on a culture of power abuse that runs rampant through Hollywood. For the past 2 years, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Ronan Farrow has been following a trail of clues from his investigation of Harvey Weinstein to other blockbuster stories about the systems that protect powerful men accused of terrible crimes in Hollywood, Washington, and beyond. It's called the Catch and Kill podcast, and even though it's Farrow's podcast, he couldn't do it alone. A compelling cast of sources, from brave whistleblowers to shadowy undercover operatives, decide the fate of these investigations, sometimes risking everything in the process. The Catch and Kill podcast brings you their stories in their own words for the first time. Check out this sample from an episode of the Catch and Kill podcast featuring private investigator Igor Ostrovsky. When a shady Israeli intelligence agency contacted him to surveil Ronan Farrow in 2017, he was shocked to discover they were working on behalf of the center of it all, Harvey Weinstein.
Roman Hyken ran an outfit called Infotactic.
Company. Infotactic Group handles spousal investigations, intellectual property cases, insurance investigations, child custody cases, background checks, and skip tracing.
It was a pretty small-time operation. Most of the workers were part-time. It is true, Hyken had occasionally worked for a high-profile client, like the designer Christian Louboutin hired him once to go undercover and see who was knocking off those red-soled shoes.
When I was young and I first learned how to read, I would fascinate my parents with my ability to memorize the text of my favorite book, Sherlock Holmes.
In general, he's a good guy. He likes sailing, so he goes sailing a couple times a year. I figured, oh, well, I should call Roman and see what he's up to.
Igor and Hyken got along, and Hyken had a lot he could teach Igor.
Roman taught me how to do surveillance, how to drive for surveillance, how to blend in. He taught me little tricks, you know, how to make this job fun. A lot of people can't figure out where to find a bathroom in New York. And we're talking about clean bathrooms, not like the bathroom at Union Square in the subway, you know? Like that bathroom I wouldn't even walk near. But where do you find a clean bathroom in the city, right? In every high-priced restaurant, there's a clean bathroom. In every high-end hotel, there's a clean bathroom. You walk in, you walk up to the bar, and you ask the bartender, where can I wash my hands? And what are your drink specials? He goes to get you the drink specials, he puts the menu down in front of you, and he directs you where to wash your hands and use the bathroom and just leave. Roman taught me that. It was always fun. Every day working with Roman was fun, because if something was happening, it was just action, 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 action. And if nothing was happening, we were watching comedy videos on YouTube.
Igor and Hyken worked together for years, on and off, doing this kind of basic PI work. Which brings us to late 2016, just as I started to follow the clues that would lead to my story on Harvey Weinstein. Igor called Hyken to see if he had any new jobs lined up. Hyken said they should talk.
So we met up in Brooklyn on Coney Island, and he told me he's into some new stuff. He has a new client that, like, he wouldn't tell me who it was. which I thought was normal because we wouldn't tell each other who our clients are, because in this industry, everyone steals clients.
Sure.
Or that's the mood. So I understood that he might not want to just openly tell me what he's working on.
And then in the course of that conversation, was it you that raised the idea of maybe being a part of this work for this mysterious new client?
Well, I told him straight up. I said, look, if you need help, call me.
Turns out, Hyken did need help.
That was the Catch and Kill podcast with Ronan Farrell. Hear the heartbreaking but powerful stories of one of America's darkest sagas on the Catch and Kill podcast. Available now on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection. Just go to wvxu.org/starthere. History is written by the victor, but that doesn't mean the victor tells the truth. Throughout American history, there are pivotal turning points and key moments that change the complexion of the entire nation, but aren't covered much in class. Enter Fiasco, a luminary podcast. Host Leon Nafik transports you to the day-to-day reality of our country's most pivotal historical events, bringing to life the forgotten twists and turns of the past while shedding light on the present in three compelling seasons. Season 3 details the Battle for Boston, the story of the movement to desegregate Boston's public schools. Season 2 explores Iran-Contra, and Season 1 recounts what happened during the contested 2000 election between Al Gore and George W. Bush and the extraordinary legal battle that unfolded in Florida. To give you a taste of Fiasco, here's a snippet from the episode titled No Precedent. The episode explores the experience of former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor during the chaos of the 2000 election.
You heard about the something else that the Florida Supreme Court was busy with in last week's episode. It was the contest lawsuit that the Gore team filed on November 27th after Katherine Harris certified the election for Bush.
Good evening. It was like an earthquake in Florida. This afternoon, the Florida Supreme Court did a life-saving exercise on Al Gore's campaign to be president.
This was the big one. The one that culminated on Friday, December 8th, in the Florida court shocking both campaigns by ordering a last-minute hand recount of every undervote in the state.
A manual recount of the so-called undervotes. And they wanted in every part of the state, 64 counties, more than 43,000 votes.
Undervotes, as you'll recall, refers to ballots that didn't register a vote for president, often because someone didn't punch through their ballot all the way. The Florida court's ruling to manually review all these undervotes created instant uncertainty. With so many potential new votes, the race was anybody's game for the first time since Election Day. The Bush team once again turned to the U.S. Supreme Court, this time to file an emergency petition to halt the recount.
The Bush campaign responds instantly, preparing a broad legal counterattack, hoping to stop the court-ordered recount before it even begins.
Ted Olson, a Bush lawyer with years of experience arguing before the Supreme Court, thought it was obvious that the statewide manual recount could not be done fairly or quickly enough to make the Electoral College deadline of December 12th.
It couldn't possibly be done. The earlier recount procedures of just four counties had been moving along very slowly. There was no chance that a statewide recount could be done by the time of that deadline. And so my concern was that the Florida Supreme Court was either ignoring those deadlines or wasn't paying sufficient attention to the legal impact of those deadlines.
Bush's 42-page petition was filed at 9:18 p.m. on Friday, December 8th, mere hours after the Florida Supreme Court ruling was announced.
A sample of Fiasco from Luminary. Separate the facts from the fiction with the help of Fiasco, available on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection. Just go to wvxu.org and choose the podcast menu item. Our featured local podcast this week comes to you from both at home and abroad. Join Emily in Cincinnati and Alicia in Australia for their best friend true crime podcast, Dead On. Through a weekly Zoom call, the pals get together to share true crime stories with the world from across the ocean. From nationally known killers to Cincinnati-based criminals, Dead On brings you all the gripping and gruesome stories from the underbelly of society. And so to give you a sense for Dead On, here's a snippet from the recent episode of Dead On where Emily documents the details of the Cincinnati Strangler, a terror on the tri-state area in the mid-1960s.
So I just wanted to start my story off with a pretty well-known quote from Mark Twain. We know it here in Cincinnati, but I've actually had people tell me this quote in New York before. So he once said, "When the end of the world comes, I want to be in Cincinnati. It's always been 10 years behind the times." So I love that, but I'm also like, well, damn, that sucks. You know?
Rude.
That's rude. So the location, Cincinnati, Ohio. The date, October 12th, 1965. Just 1 year after Albert DeSalvo, a.k.a. the Boston Strangler, is apprehended on the East Coast after murdering 13 women over a two-year period, our hometown of Cincinnati, Ohio, has their own killer starting to make his rounds in a similar fashion. On October 12, 1965, at around noon, a 65-year-old woman by the name of Elizabeth Crico was approached by a short, skinny black male outside her apartment in Walnut Hills. He asked her if she could point him in the direction of the caretaker of the apartment building, and she kindly led him downstairs to the basement. From there, he dragged her to a side room, proceeded to rape her and choke her with a plastic clothesline. She was found barely alive. Less than 1 week later, a 39-year-old woman named Margaret Helton had been attacked by a black male, politely asking her for directions. He dragged her to a car where he wrapped a rope around her neck and told her she was being robbed. She screamed and was able to press on the steering wheel horn, which spooked the man into fleeing. These two women still had their lives. However, seven other women would not be as lucky. At around 1 p.m. on December 2nd, 1965, Emma Jean Harrington returned home after grocery shopping and parked her car in front of her apartment building on East McMillan. I know. Everywhere I'm going to tell you, you're like, I know.
A sample from our local podcast, Dead On, from our local podcast creators, Emily and Alicia. Get your true crime fix from a trusted local source with Dead On. Available now on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection. Just go to the WVXU app and look for Start Here. And as usual and customary, before we go, let's take a couple of minutes to see what's hot in the Apple Podcast universe as reported by iTunescharts.net. Last week, we highlighted the debut and instant popularity of the podcast, The Apology Line, about a phone line you could call in Manhattan and leave a voicemail apology about anything that you thought no one would ever hear. Well, joining the Apology Line at number one is a new podcast about the former office holder of the presidency. The podcast is called How It Happened. How much damage can a sitting president do in a day or a week or 2 months? In the first series of How It Happened, national political reporter Jonathan Swan reveals the inside story of Donald Trump's last few months in office, and the story starts with his COVID-19 recovery and ends with the insurrection at the Capitol. That's How It Happened, number one on the Apple Podcast charts. To learn more about that podcast and the others we featured today, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter from the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, check out the Start Here collection at wvxu.org. It's our new specially curated collection of podcasts we think you might enjoy. Plus, check out the local podcast collection, podcasts created right here in Cincinnati by our local creators. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org. I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.